He's so worthy to be acknowledged as he is. And he wants you to have influence. And the reason he wants you to have influence, because he's so in love with people. Isn't it interesting how that Jesus baptizes us with his Spirit? You know, we're baptized in water in his name, but not only are we baptized into Christ, amen, he baptizes himself into us in Spirit, so that we will have power and authority to carry the good news. Now, why would I want to carry the good news? Well, I want to please him, because he done something for me 2,000 years ago that I wasn't worthy of. And now I can live because of that. So in pleasing God, we get to carry the good news and touch others with this good message of hope. Matter of fact, he wants to use you today to encourage someone to remember who they are and how special they are to him through love, through his Spirit. Now, I have found out when I deliver the good news and I encourage someone, I get fulfilled. There's nothing more fulfilling than bringing hope to somebody. Now, if you're not fulfilled today and you want to be fulfilled, I would encourage you to revisit your experience in God. Amen? Baptism in Christ and then being baptized in the Spirit gives you the power and the authority needed to carry the good news so that you can bless someone and in return be fulfilled. And everybody here is designed to be fulfilled. And we're talking about real influence. Every message that we've talked about in this series of real influence has been designed to point to this particular message on influence, the series on real. Every step has been to communicate what true, real influence is. Matter of fact, you either have influence or you don't. Pretty cut and dry, isn't it? And for those that don't have influence in your life, that you know they would like to have influence in your life, for them to get it, they're going to have to change the way they handle you, right? Pretty true, isn't it? To be effective as a believer who is devoted to their God-given identity, influence is key. The reason the world is not really turned on by Christianity is because Christianity as a whole is not as influential as they should be. Now, the world is interested in Jesus. Oh, everybody wants to know about Jesus. They like that guy. But for us to be true Christians, we have to allow, or we get to allow, Jesus to be king of his kingdom in us. When that happens and we give him permission to be who he's designed to be in us, he'll touch others and they will see him. And we're talking about real influence today because the theme of our series is good relationships are possible, but not probable if we're following the world's ways or the ideas of the world. The reason is that because the world, amen, has this tendency to influence us to follow culture and to follow society influence. And we're attracted to that because we want people to like us. Anybody like wanting people to like you? Sometimes you'll go out of bounds with God to try to get people to like you. They already are interested in Jesus. If we'll just show them Jesus, we get to be a part of their lives. And so facts and statistics are overwhelming about relationships today. They are being destroyed. They are diminishing at a higher rate than ever in history, according to statistics. And so God actually challenges us to step away from the world's way. He challenges us to come follow him and his way. In Romans 12 and 2, let's see what Paul writes in relationship to this. Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. If our relationships are going to be real, ladies and gentlemen, we need to be transformed. That's very key. Our transformation begins without the demands of those whom we're in relationship with to change. I mean, I'm just going to tell you, I've done that before. It just doesn't work. If you'll change, I'll have a better day. And I'm just going to tell you, there's multiple relationships around me that I could have if I would get over the idea that they need to change. And by the way, they need to change, but not for me. That's not the reason they need to change. I think they do because I feel like I'd have a better day if they would. But that's not the purpose. God wants to change me. He wants me to quit trying to change people. Only God can change me and you. Amen? But the temptation to try to help people change is ongoing every day. And so when I let Jesus change me, it affects others. Remember, when we started with Jesus, we have all we need to deal with. Amen? The challenges that we are faced with, we have all that we need in Christ and our developing relationships if we'll let Jesus be Lord of them. And so it's important that we understand that hurt people hurt people. It's important everybody understand that. They can only give what they have. If they're hurt, they're going to give hurt. But I have found out if I'm able to receive from God forgiveness, I can give forgiveness. And the moment I give forgiveness, I get more forgiveness. Isn't that interesting how that works? The more I give mercy, the more mercy I receive. It's amazing how God's plan is, and it will not change. It's how His Spirit, it's how His kingdom operates. And so it's common to struggle with how to get full. I need more of Jesus. Anybody here need more of Jesus? You need more of God at work in your life? And so getting full of God and gaining influence with those whom you are designed to serve on behalf of Jesus happens only as we yield to the Spirit of God in our life. You are a spirit being. You're more real than what you see in the mirror. And your DNA comes from God. I believe that with all my heart because I have experiences with God that validate that. I've got so many experiences with God now, there's no way the world could influence my faith in God. I know Him better today because of experience in Him. And what needs to happen in our lives is that when we allow God to fill us and give us that experience, we become attractive. When we get attractive because Jesus is evident, amen, all of a sudden you have influence. I'm going to go closer to someone that's demonstrating Christ because the closer I get to them, the more of God I get. And I need Him today. I have an uncle that owns a very successful construction company, and he's always been very good to his employees, but they happen to be people, and people do stupid at times, don't they? Amen? I'll raise my hand. I've done it more than I want to talk about, but that's reality. But he knew where his blessings come from, and because he knew where his blessings come from, amen, it just made him be more of a praying man. And so he spent time with God daily. He fellowshiped with the Lord. He didn't do penance. He fellowshiped with his daddy, his father in heaven. And it was a blessing to him and his company. But it became apparent that he had employees, people, that were on the job that were stealing from him. And so if you choose the world's way of handling it, you react, right? Somebody's stealing from the company you own, you got to deal with that because if they keep stealing, they're just going to rob you blind and your company's going to fail, right? That's the logic of it, correct? Well, since he was a man that had fellowship with God, he went back to his war room and had prayer time with him and asked the Lord about it because he didn't want to react. He wanted to respond the way his Heavenly Father would respond. And isn't it interesting that when you get what you get from God, it's never logical? It's totally like, man, that is not the way to do this. It's going to get worse. But instead of doing what the world would have encouraged him to do through the counsel of the world, he just went back and decided to write it off and continue to be good to them. I watched this. I worked at his company. I watched it, and I watched those people change and become devoted, committed employees to that company. Now, that just is not logical, is it? It looks like they would continue to do that, but they couldn't do anything with the love that he gave them, the kindness that he showed them, helped them to realize this is where they belong. This is a good man. This is a godly man. I can't steal from God. But reactions are paramount in our world when we deal with people, aren't they? Let me give you four common responses to pain. And most of our pain happens because there's relationships involved. The number one common response or reaction to pain is I must protect. The idea is I've got to protect myself. I can't be hurt or taken advantage of like this again. Question is, how many times in our relationship have we actually felt that way? And we've vocalized that probably out loud at times. And when we do that, what's happening is we build a wall. And the moment we begin to build a wall around us, and that wall begins to go up, our influence goes down. It's the way it works in all relationships, which leads us to the second common reaction to pain, which says, amen, to everyone in our relationship, I must benefit. Amen. If I've got pain, I'm going to protect. Secondly, I'm going to benefit if I'm going to continue in this relationship. So there better be something in this relationship for me. If I can't gain, I'm not interested in opening my life and my heart any further in this relationship. And when I go there, then the next reaction is I must control. As long as I think I've got to get some benefit out of this relationship, I'm naturally going to begin to manipulate and control. These responses, or rather reactions, happen many times in marriages. If we get hurt, we want to protect ourselves, we begin to manipulate. And if I'm going to be in a relationship, I must control it because I can't have no more pain. The pain is too much. And as control comes in, influence goes out. Isn't that amazing how that works? Which puts us in the position to where we begin to believe, I must win. At the end of the day, no matter what, I'm coming out on top. I'm not going to be the one on the bottom here. I can't handle any more hurt. So I'm going to guard against you hurting me at all cost. These things happen in all of us, don't they? Matter of fact, we've said them out openly. Why? Because we're dealing with people. How many times you've heard this, the saying, maybe you've said it, I love my job if it wasn't for the people. Right? I love where I work, but the customers, which are people. Keep offending it, right? I love my biological family if it wasn't for the people. Some of us said those things out loud, right? We all have people problems. Every one of us do. And many, if not most of the time, we're the problem. And why is that? We are a person. Even Jesus faced people problems. And I'd like to encourage you today. Oftentimes in Christianity, we will elevate the disciples of Jesus as being holier than us and without problems. And in reality, the disciples were very, very human, just like us. Peter never did it right, hardly ever. It took him getting filled with the Spirit before he was able to really do anything right. He was always getting it wrong. And when he get it wrong, he get it really wrong. And here's some of the people problems that Jesus dealt with in Peter that will help you today. Number one, this is one of them. And people will disappoint. Peter disappointed. Disappointment's going to happen, isn't it? There's no way that we can avoid disappointment in life, especially dealing with people. Now, I want to be sure you understand this, that God's treasure in the earth is people. That's his treasure. And while the world wants to find the dirt in people, he's looking for the gold in people. And it's so easy for us to see the dirt, isn't it? Because we've seen so much dirt in our own lives that we know exactly what dirt is and what dirt isn't. So people disappoint. Peter's walking on water because Jesus said, come on, you can walk on water, come walk with me. And he starts to sink, and Jesus gives us the idea, and he alludes to the idea that he was disappointed in Peter after he began to sink. And this is what Jesus had to say in Matthew 14:31. He said, why did you doubt me, Peter? people have problems, and he disappointed. Which leads us to the next people problem. People will make mistakes. They make mistakes. They disappoint. They make mistakes. In fact, everyone makes mistakes. Mistakes are going to happen today. Today, you will make a mistake because you're human. And the enemy is going to take advantage of that mistake to make you feel less a Christian or a believer in Christ the moment you make it. Peter made the mistake of getting into an argument with Jesus when Jesus was talking about, man, this is what my purpose is. This is what I'm going to do for humanity. And Peter said, no, you ain't going to do it. Not so, Lord. That's not going to happen. And Jesus looks at Peter in Matthew 16, 23, and he says to him, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. Now, you know you've made a mistake when Jesus calls you the devil. Right? People have problems. The third people problem is people are selfish. Now, it's easy to be selfish. I know exactly how to be selfish. I learned that back when I was a baby. I learned it when I was a toddler. I kept learning it as I was growing up, how to be selfish. And it's tendency to be attracted to take care of number one, right? Especially if you believe you're number one. And the enemy has a way of convincing me that I'm number one. It takes me going to Jesus and asking him what he thinks about it. And he always lets me know, no, I'm number one. And that person right over there, that's number two. That's number two right there. I'm number one and that's number two. And if you will see it that way, I'm going to bless you. I'm just going to pour myself out on you. You can't be blessed on your own like this if you'll just see it from that lens. And so because we've been selfish, and we've all done that, it's easy to pick up when selfishness is at work around us. We know exactly when somebody's being selfish because we've been selfish. We know about it. And you can't be selfish and me not know you're being selfish because I know my nature. And I know that nature is what God's changing in me. He's changing in all of us as we allow him. All the disciples dealt with selfishness as they followed Jesus. At a time when Jesus really needed them to be with him, when he's really carrying a burden in his life, amen, to give it all up for you and me, the disciples aren't getting it. they have a need for something personally right now. And all of a sudden, their need for sleep was greater than their need to be with Jesus. Anybody ever been so sleepy, amen, that you just needed some sleep? They needed some sleep. It's not wrong to be sleepy. Amen. It's just at a time when Jesus needed them, they couldn't give him what they needed because they needed something else. Peter, one of Jesus's, he's chose for to be the spokesman at the Feast of Pentecost. In Mark 14, 37, he says, Simon, are you asleep? Couldn't you just keep watch for 1 hour? And yes, Jesus dealt with disappointment. He dealt with mistakes. He dealt with selfishness in Peter. It was real, but he still believed in Peter. Amen. Somebody say, I need Jesus to be able to work through those kind of relationship issues in my life, right? I hope this doesn't happen to anybody here today, but it may happen to you at some point. The fourth people problem that Jesus had to deal with is people might betray you. They might do that. This is when the relationship appears to be over. This is the proverbial last straw, so to speak, betrayal. To some here today, you have experienced betrayal and you have felt the pain that rushes in while it's happening. Wow, I can't believe this just happened in my relationship. I've been betrayed. Yes, Peter betrayed Jesus. However, he wasn't by himself. Almost all of his disciples betrayed Jesus and ran away. In Mark 14 and 71, Peter does exactly what Jesus said he would do. In verse 71, he said he began to call down curses and he swore to them, I do not know this man. He's speaking of Jesus that had been a blessing to him, that had spoke life into him. I don't know this man that you're talking about. And right after he says that, Peter catches the eyes of Jesus as he looks at him. And the moment their eyes connected, all of a sudden the enemy had an open door to come with guilt and with shame like waves into Peter's life. Amen. And I'm just going to tell you something. When we fail to be what we believe Jesus wants us to be for him, the enemy has an open door to put us in prison with guilt and shame. And some of us today need to know that. That's how the enemy plays. The devil come to play Peter that day. That seems logical that Jesus would be through with Peter, doesn't it? Since he's been betrayed by Peter in such a way in front of everybody. I don't know who this man is. Jesus just doesn't build his relationships like the world builds their relationships. He doesn't build on that philosophy or that theory. If we allow the problems of the past relationships in our lives to determine how we handle the potential of future ones, what happens is we begin to limit or even at times eliminate our influence. Amen. How we react to our relationships either will build our influence or diminish it. And I use the word react, but react is not the best word. We would rather respond as the Spirit prompts us in our relationships. Jesus did not limit his influence in Peter's life. Even though it got bad during Jesus' most darkest hour, he didn't give up on Peter. Remember this, if you don't remember anything else this morning, Jesus never gives up on us. And he hasn't given up on you. He's into you more than you can imagine. And he wants to give you an experience that will validate it. He wants to meet with you in a way that's not logical. You can't figure it out. As much as we'd like to figure out how to have an experience with God, an experience with God is beyond your mental capacity. You can know something and not be able to explain it. That's how God designed his experience with all of us. I know I've had an experience with God. I wish I could explain it to you, but I can't. But I know that I know that I know. That's the truth that will make you free. That's the truth that will begin to bring you together in relationships that will bring fulfillment in your life. Notice how Jesus demonstrated real influence in people's lives, even while they were demonstrating disappointment, demonstrating selfishness, and ongoing mistakes. His boys just keep, he chose 12 that just kept dropping the ball. Matthew 16:18, Jesus says this to Peter. He said, I say to you now that you are Peter. Before he called him Simon, I'm going to change your name. This is who you really are. I want you to get your real identity, meaning rock. And upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. Look at it a little bit closer. What had happened just prior to that, him saying that to Peter, Peter had an experience with God. And he was able to leap up and say, Thou art the Son, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father, the Spirit, which is in heaven. And he's letting them know this thing that just happened to Peter, what just happened to him, this knowing that he can't explain, is how I'm going to build my church. Peter, you've got a lot of problems, but I want you to know, Peter, you're still the one I choose. And some of you need to hear this today, because you got a lot of problems and you keep dropping the ball. But the Lord wants you to know, as the devil screams at you and tells you you're not worthy, you'll never be worthy, if you'll just pay attention, because every one of us has been given the ability to tune in. You'll hear that still, small voice say, I love you. You're my daughter. You're my son. And I've got great big plans for you today. Come, go with me. I want to show you what you've never seen before. I want you to experience what you've been designed for. I've called you to be this. This is your true identity. Real influence is believing the best, even after the worst. That's real influence. When you can believe in those around you when they've just dropped the ball big time. Apparently, Jesus was not going to give up on Peter. He was all in. And he tells Mary when she comes and finds out, amen, he's risen, and she gets to see Jesus, he says, you go tell Peter, I got some plans. I want to see him. He didn't quit on him yet, did he? One of Jesus' last conversations before his ascension, he has with Peter. And I'm using Peter today because, my goodness, he gets to deliver the good news that we all should be carrying. But yet he had all these problems that seemed to be paramount. Notice what he says to him in John 21 and 17. He says, a third time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt that Jesus asked him the question a third time. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know I love you. I don't know exactly why Jesus asked him three times. Maybe it was because Peter denied Jesus three times. Or maybe it's just because Peter's confidence needed to be built. And Jesus took some time to remind him. Amen. I want to know, are you with me, Peter? Because I believe in you. And then he gives him an assignment. And notice what he says. Then feed my sheep. I just want to say to you today, it's not about flaws. It's not about failures. It's about people. Jesus is saying to us today, I have forgiven you. Now demonstrate the forgiveness that you received and give it to somebody else. Love on someone else. That's why we pray when we pray, forgive us of our debts, even as we forgive others their debts. As I forgive those relationships in my life, I get more forgiveness. Amen. And Jesus is letting Peter know, I'm about to empower you, son. And now you're able to go empower others. You're able to speak life into others. You can now influence and invest in others because you can now freely give what you have freely received. The gift of salvation is free. Jesus reveals the truth about real influence. And this is important for everybody. If you're taking notes, you can write this down. Influence is not determined by my level of success, but by my ability to help you succeed. That's real influence. Influence is not determined by my level of success, but rather in my ability to help you succeed and become who God says you are. That's our design. That's how he put Adam together. Adam fell from that, and his Adamic nature took over, and he became selfish, and he made a lot of mistakes, and he kept dropping the ball. But through Christ, we've been redeemed, empowered by his Spirit to take on our true identity. Amen? And my greatest accomplishment becomes your accomplishment. So, how do you continue to love people and make it about them even while you're susceptible to being hurt? How do you do that? I'd like to challenge you as I bring the message to this closing portion. Focus on the person. Number one, focus on the person. Well, I can do that because I've let Jesus focus on me. He's focused on me, but have I received everything he wants me to have? So I make sure I get what I need from God so that I can now focus on the person. Paul addresses this to the believers, those that had let God focus on them. He says this in Philippians 2 and 3. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Think of others as better than yourself. Don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. You see, focusing on the other person means you getting closer to the other person. To have the same kind of influence that can speak into their life, you must open up your life to them. Be transparent. Be real. Because being real opens the door for real influence. And there's questions that all of us need to be able to answer about our relationships. If you're in a relationship right now, which you should be, amen, whether they're friends or whether they're spouse, questions that you need to ask yourself and learn about them. What inspires that person? I know what inspires me, but it's not about me. Jesus made it about me 2,000 years ago. What inspires Tammy in my life? Because if I can focus on what inspires her, guess what? I get inspired more. What frustrates her? Ah, so that I'm aware of that frustration and I'm able to support her through her frustrations and prop her up as she develops in her fellowship with God. All of a sudden, then I get propped up by God. Isn't that amazing how that works? And then what makes her laugh? It's important to laugh. Laughter is a medicine. And in my relationship, it's not good if she's not laughing. I need to be aware of that fact. If that's not laughter in her spirit, God designed me and he put me together and he put me on assignment in her life, not for my selfish reasons, but for his purpose. And as long as I'll take care of his will in her life, I get all kind of brownie points. And I like brownie points with Tammy. They don't last long, but I like the brownie points. And so I've learned that my relationship with her tells me where I'm at spiritually with my relationship with others. And if I can't take care of her, amen, I can't really take care of you the way God designed me to serve you and to be there for you. Isn't that interesting how that works? Amen. So it was key spiritual mentors that were in my life that were brave enough to get close to me and allow me to get close to them. And I thank God for brave people in my life that decided I'm not going to let his mistakes, his disappointments, his selfishness offend my objective in being in his life. I'm in to the end. I'm all in because Jesus is all in. And the last time I checked, as you're breathing right now, he's all in. He's with you. Amen. You may not be doing anything that serves him, but he's in love with you. And if Jesus can be in love with you, I can ask him, Lord, what is it about them that you can help me love? And he'll start showing me. And by the way, he only speaks well of people. He don't speak negative about nobody. Amen. The second thing that we can focus on in people is the positive. Amen. We're looking for the gold. We're not looking for the dirt. If you haven't noticed, the world is always negative. The media is always looking for the dirt in people's life. They're not looking for the good. A negative shadow has been cast in on our relationships because of the world and the way the world looks at people. It's affected our marriages. It affects our children. The millennials, man, they're tired of us talking about Jesus. Show us. We're tired of the pain that comes with just the talk. Where is Jesus at? Show me him. And so the world has cast a negative reflection in life general. But we as believers, we focus on the positive. Ephesians 4:32 says, instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Overlook the negative. When you overlook it, you have now touched a key in building real influence in your relationships. I remember when I was growing up, amen, I was critical and I was judgmental at times. And man, there were some painful times in my life because we're presented with multiple opportunities to be critical, to be mean-spirited, to be judgmental. And these things are influence killers. When you're around somebody that's negative all the time, they don't have a lot of influence with you, do they? You know, you're around people that, amen, they're pulled in by the pain in their life, and the next thing you know, they're gossiping, they're backbiting, they're negative. It's like you can't get away from that because it don't build your spirit up. And I remember, amen, having those kind of times in my life where I was not positive, I was negative. But real influence in my life was able to give me real talk, and they did it in the right spirit, and because they love me right. Come on, ladies and gentlemen, when you love right, when you're courteous to someone, it's something about the right spirit that brings this strong rebuke. Oh my goodness, here I am being critical and they don't do nothing but say kind things. Here I am being judgmental and all they do is speak positive. It's convicting when you're around that. And that overcomes darkness. And I thank God for people in my life that didn't quit on me, but they kept hanging around me, speaking life and being positive and thinking the right thoughts and declaring the right statements. Isn't it amazing when you think you're in charge or you're the so-called man or woman, how this kind of thinking, critical thinking, just comes out of you? If you think you know, I know it. I know what's going on. If you need an answer from, I'm the guy to get the answer from. And then criticism and all kind of negative come out of you when you think like that. If we can see the positive and the treasure in people, we'll never live up to who God designed us to be if we can't see that. And so real influence forgives the negative and it focuses on the treasure in others. The third thing is focus on the positive or the potential. Focus on their potential. Just like everyone has something positive about them, they also have a potential about them. Most potential is not seen by them and normally isn't recognized by us. We need God to help us see it, right? Peter reveals this to us in 1 Peter 4:10. God has given each of you, and I'm just going to tell you, if you're a believer in Jesus, He has a plan for your life. He's given each of us a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. This is what the Lord wants us to do. Use them well to serve one another. You have been set up by God to be successful in serving others. And God's given us this opportunity to find the potential in everyone around us, especially those we're in fellowship with or in relationships with. My brother-in-law, I told the first group this morning, he's 40, I think he's 42, he's in that range right now, or close to 46 or 7. Anyway, I remember when he was a teenager. Me and my wife had just got married. I get to meet him. And he didn't have his biological father in his life. Matter of fact, you know, his mother dies at the age 42. And so everything that is going wrong for him, it's not a good setup for him and the potential that God has for his life. Matter of fact, his sisters beat him up until he got big enough to defend himself. And so I'm watching him, and there's nothing fair about his setting. Yet there was a stepdad that saw the potential in him and a pastor that believed in him, and they stood with him. And they began to speak life into him and declare the potential in his life. And what's so interesting in his now, amen, after going through all those challenges, he's a leader in an organization that impacts thousands of people's lives today. And if you just look at his life, there was no way he could reach that status because it wasn't nothing fair. And I'm gonna say this to several of you here today. Your life hasn't been fair, but God's there. And I can say this for all of us. None of us has really had a fair shake and had a fair hand dealt to us in life when you break it down. Yes, some others may have some benefits of the earth going on in their life, and you may have more materialism, but you know, when it ranks in fair, nobody's really had a fair, amen, opportunity, a fair hand dealt to them in life. It's been challenging. Your influence always grows when you can see in others what they can't see in themselves. Amen. And my brother-in-law, Dennis Davis, amen, he come to the top through thick and thin. When you can see the potential in others who frustrate you, and potentially they anger you, and then you start calling out the potential in them, then the next thing that happens is you can focus on their purpose. Focus on their purpose. Not only their potential, but their purpose. Just like everyone has spiritual gifts, every one of us have divine purpose. God even has a plan for the people you haven't started to like yet. Ask Him about it. He'll surprise you what He has to say. In Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's masterpiece. Every one of you is God's masterpiece, and the devil doesn't like you. He's against you. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good thing he planned for us long ago. Maybe you missed the mark 10 years ago. Maybe you missed it 20 years ago. Maybe last week you missed it again. But today is a new day, and his mercies are made afresh right now, today, for you. What he intended then to do in your life, he'll do it today if you'll just let him. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. I want to tell you something today. He's into you. Amen. It was those who could see my potential and see my purpose that had the kind of real influence to help me get through my ugly in life. And you know what? They still do that to this day. 55 years I've walked around the sun this year. And they still have that kind of influence in my life to this day. Maybe you don't even know your purpose yet. You'll need to know your purpose before you can help someone else step into their purpose. And the New Life Fellowship, we're into that, helping you find out your purpose. That's why we do growth tracks, so that you can know God. You can experience him. Every one of you deserve an experience in God so that you can know what you can't explain. But not only can you, amen, know that God is for you, you can be connected to the body. And the body of Christ include people. The enemy don't want you being connected. You need to know how you can be connected. And you can know more about that when you find out, amen, your unique gifting, your unique purpose in life, so that you can actually make a difference in the kingdom and be fulfilled. God wants to do that for you today. But I want to close as this last one as it relates to being able to focus on people even while they may potentially hurt you. The last one is focus on the process. The process. Why do we need to focus on the process? Because it's a process and it does not happen overnight. It's not necessarily easy. But remember this, it's worth it. Just telling you, I told you at the beginning of this message today that when I'm able to give someone hope, I get fulfilled. And sometimes the ones that the Lord wants me to go give hope to aren't the ones I want to give it to. Hello? Lord, why can't I go over there to that one? Let me go give that one hope. No, I want you to go give this one hope. All right, Lord, I'm not getting it, so you're going to have to give me an experience right now and tell me what it is about them that you're so into, because I'm missing it right now. All I can see is the dirt, and I know there's some gold there, but help me. And if we'll just take a moment and focus on what he's focused on, there's a process, and you get to assist Jesus in the process of seeing someone else become who they're designed to be. You might get bit in the process. You might get bruised in the process. Your feelings might get hurt while you're trying to encourage them. But that's okay. That's how you know him in the fellowship of his suffering. He went all the way when we didn't deserve anything. And the least that I can do for my King, my Lord, my Daddy, my Heavenly Father, amen, is know him in that manner and reach for what he's after. He's after people. Amen. When you focus on others winning, remember this, you win. When you invest in others, good things happen to you. Jesus summarized it in Luke 6:37. Do not judge others, and you will not be judged. I don't know about you, but I don't like being judged. But I found out every time I've been judged, I can trace it back to me judging somebody. Well, I didn't get very many amens on that one. Do not condemn others or it will come back against you. Now, Jesus was saying this. I believe he knew what he was talking about. Do not condemn others and it will come back against you. Forgive others and you will be forgiven. Give and you will receive. This is not a money verse here. This is a people verse. Your gift will return to you in full. Come on, if I give mercy, it's going to return to me in full with mercy, pressed down, shaken together, to make room for more, running over, and pour it into your lap. I don't know about y'all, but I need more mercy. I need more of God. So if I need more of God, guess what? I'm going to give more of God. This is what God done to my, this is what God said to me. This is what God's doing for me. Here, take some of it. Amen. What you invest in others has already been determined. That's what you're going to get back. I need fulfillment. And because I need fulfillment, you must need to be fulfilled. And because you need Jesus like I need Jesus, I'm going to assist Jesus in you getting all you can get. Because if I'll start giving you what I've got, it comes back to me in waves. It almost sounds selfish, don't it? But you were designed by God to experience God. And God is always bigger than we are. The amount you encourage them, believe in them, forgive them, every bit of it is coming back your way. The best way to love someone is help them become the best version of who they really are. Work on being an assistant to God in building His kingdom. And His kingdom is people. Now, I close with this very impactful event in my life. I'll never forget it. But I wondered at how people were drawn to my grandmother on her deathbed in a hospital, the whole second floor. It was hers. All the nurses, all the doctors, and there was other people in there. But there was miracles happening on her deathbed. And the reason she was so impactful on her deathbed, like she was in her life, on her deathbed now. And she was telling the people, and she said, oh, the angels are here waiting on me. And she was just saying that with praise, that God loved her enough to let her be able to see the angels in the room. But what verified the fact that she could see the angels was she would look at you and then she would say things that edified you and spoke life into you, things she didn't know about you that brought hope to you. And she would call people's names that would come to her memory, and they were coming up, they were lining up to meet her. And the doctor says, we don't understand this. She should be passing, but God isn't letting her go yet, and she's still praying for, prophesying, and speaking life into people lined up. Nurses were coming in that didn't know her. They met her. They were getting filled with the Spirit. Doctors that had never been Spirit touched before come in that room because they was her, and they just walked in to check her out. And before they even get to bed, she said, would you lift your hands? The Lord wants to touch your life. And they would be filled with the Spirit. Why? Because she believed that her greatest accomplishment was the accomplishments of others. She believed that. And you know why she believed that? Because that's what Jesus believed about Himself. He came that the works you saw Him do, He said, greater works you're going to do. Because He made it His priority that His greatest accomplishment was your victory. And I'm just telling you today, He ain't stopped. His greatest accomplishment in your life is still your success and you becoming who He says you are. And while the enemy is screaming all the time, I know somebody said, man, Pastor, you're always bringing up the enemy. And well, let me just say this to you. You and I are going to worship one of two. We're going to worship Jesus or we're going to worship the devil. And I know, I'm neutral. I don't worship the devil. Well, if your thinking don't match the thinking of Jesus, you're pretty much in on the devil. Is this okay? Anything that don't equal the way Jesus think is the devil's thoughts. And the devil operates out of knowledge and logic. God's kingdom is naturally supernatural. And it's the truth that makes us free. And when you finally hear the truth about who you are, you'll be free. But the devil ain't telling you who you are. He's telling you you're a mistake, that you're not worthy. He's telling you everything that discounts who God says you are. And I'm here to tell you today, that's not who you are. There's a still small voice that's speaking to you right now that says you're special And he's always been with you, even through thick and thin. He has never left you. He's never forsaken you. Even when we left him and we forsook him, he stuck with us. And he's into you. And his greatest accomplishment is to give you more mercy and more time and more grace. And today can be the day that everything shifts in your spirit, that you can have what you've never had before. It's always been yours, but you can actually receive it today. Would we all stand?